All right, very good. Well, let's go to Roman numeral 3, the ministry of the two. And here we are on the talking about these two witnesses, Revelation 11 and verse 3. And we have covered most of the controversy of this and talking about who those two are. And so, and it's very, very clear who they are. Verse 3 says who they are. I will give power unto my two witnesses. That's who they are. They are God's two witnesses. Amen. And we have not made any commitment as to who they are because as their names, because God doesn't say. Amen. And if God doesn't say, we can't say. Now, I have given my thoughts. I've given the thoughts of others. I still think it's Elijah and Enoch. Don't know that, though. And I would not fight you over that, would not fight anybody over that. We've given the reasons why many think Elijah and Moses, and Elijah seems to be the one consistent one in there. But again, the Bible doesn't say. We may be all surprised. Like I said, could be Lester Roloff and Tom Malone. I don't know who it's going to be. You know, we don't know who it's going to be. The Bible just does not say. And so we just know about their ministry, and the Bible is very, very clear about that. And we talked about their sackcloth that they'll be wearing. We talked about the preaching. We believe, again, the timelines in Revelation are very, very hard. We know there's 7 years of a tribulation. We know there it's broken in half, a 3.5 year. We have that period given, the front half and the back half, different times. The Bible refers to that. So again, you know, the Bible doesn't say when they minister, but we know how long they ministered. It was 3.5 years. And so we spent a little time on that, and we have spent a lot of time on numbers in the book of Revelation. But they witness 1,260 days, and they that again comes up to the 3.5 years. So I believe it's during the first half. I believe they are ministering. I believe they are very, very significant in the 144,000 being won to Christ, discipled, taught. And so, again, that's why, you know, you say, yeah, but we've already gotten into the trumpet judgments and talked about the six trumpet judgments. And how could this? Well, again, you know, Revelation does not say, okay, here's a timeline of events. Revelation, just God is just portraying how it was shown to John. And so we're getting it all like that. And so we can only speculate as to when different things happen. To be definitive on most of these things, you would have a very, very difficult time doing that. Though commentators do, and this is the way it is, bless God, and I've heard preachers say, and I know for sure. Well, you know, that's great. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you do. I don't. So I'm gonna tell you that I think it is the first half of the tribulation where their ministry is booming, if you will. They have supernatural abilities. The fact that they die proves that they're human. They do die, and therefore, obviously, God is working in a miraculous way. They are performing miraculous works. I did say this as we closed a couple of weeks ago on this. They are a pain. Oh, are these guys a pain? I mean, in the midst of the tribulation, in this time that is a very difficult time for all the people, all these the seal judgments are going on, the trumpet judgments are going on, and these guys are preaching, and they're telling them, this is why. By the way, the world never likes to hear that it's because of sin. The world doesn't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to think about that. The world doesn't want to talk about that we possibly could ever be the cause of anything wrong, other than they do want to talk about how it's all our fault that there's global warming and all that kind of stuff, and it's all our fault because we own guns that people take guns and shoot people, and it's all our fault that because we own knives, people take knives, and anyway, you get it. So the point is, man doesn't like to hear about man's sin, all right? And so these guys are a pain. And I wrote this down. They are a pain, they are protected, and they preach. Amen. And by the way, they are no more protected than you and I are protected. Our God protects us. Our God takes care of us. Our God watches over us. His eye is on us, and we need to remember that. We should not back down from our position. We need to continue to give out the gospel, though often in your workplace, often among your relatives, often in your neighborhood, you're a pain. And praise the Lord. Amen. You don't mean to be. You mean to be a blessing. You mean to tell people the best news they've ever heard. But it is, to the world, it is a pain. I can promise you that we have neighbors around us here where we live, which is right here. I guarantee they would say that the Rogerses are nice people, but sometimes they really are a pain. So, but again, we're not a pain. Well, Mrs. Rogers does some unique things, but anyway. So these abilities, these miraculous abilities, the power, obviously, to preach. People are getting saved, obviously, 144,000. These abilities would get attention. They would also authenticate their ministry. It would get the attention of those who are lost, Jews that are lost. And I think probably that, because again, my thinking is this is during the first half of the tribulation, I think they probably are being blamed or will be blamed for the seal and trumpet judgments that are taking place. And I say that because godly people often get blamed for things. Godly people often get blamed. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you will recall, was crucified. He was beaten, crucified, pronounced guilty, and he'd done nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. Well, he's causing trouble. Really, he's just doing right. He's going about doing good. But you'll notice in verse 7, it says, when they shall have finished their testimony, when they shall have finished their testimony. You ought to underline it, put little stars around it, circle it, put little doodads all in there, because when they will finish their testimony, not until they're finished will they be taken. They will finish what God sent them to finish. You say, what's that got to do with anything? You will too. If you do right, you're not going to be taken before you're finished. Jesus said, as he hung on the cross, it is finished. But he didn't say it is finished till it was finished. You're not going to, you know, we're constantly, well, I don't want to be taken, what's the word? When I'm not supposed to, I don't want to be taken away. I don't want to die when I'm not, there's a word. Prematurely, yes. You can't die prematurely if you're in the will of God. It's not possible to die prematurely. You're going to finish. Praise the Lord. You say, yeah, but I don't want to go young. Well, yeah, but again, you just need to finish. And they're going to finish. And praise the Lord for that. It's exciting to think about that because nothing is going to happen until it's finished. And that's same way with us. You need to remember, with Job, God gave his permission for the devil to do all kinds of stuff, but he couldn't kill him. Why? His job wasn't finished. And he can't do anything to you. You're not going to die till you're finished. And again, now, if you sin and go against God, he may bring you home early. Certainly that can happen, but that's in your hands. Amen? Just do right. Let's just follow the Lord and do what we're supposed to do. Paul said when before he died, he said, I finished my course. I finished my course. Praise the Lord. And so they would be finished. Well, I don't know. Maybe when the 144,000th soul got saved and discipled. Don't know. Don't know how that all was calculated, but they weren't finished till they were finished. And I'm glad God put it that way. When they shall have finished. Amen. Look at verse 8. It says, let's finish verse 7. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast. Now that's interesting. There's the word beast. And by the way, that is the first time beast, that word is mentioned. in the tribulation time and in the book of Revelation, beast, Antichrist. There are 35 references to him in Revelation. All right, and here he's the beast. And so the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And again, we all say, oh, yeah, but he's not going to kill them till it's time. Amen. And what an honor. Amen. What a blessing. You say, I don't know if I want that. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, praise the Lord. That's what happened to Job. You know, who started the thing? God did. Don't blame the devil. God said, consider my servant Job. Hey, devil, here's a guy. He loves me. Hey, devil, here's one of mine right here. Oh, you've protected him. You put a hedge about him. Well, I'll take away the hedge. Now, watch him. Amen. I'm just saying, the Antichrist, you know, he's got a lot of power, but he can't do anything until God says it's okay. It's not going to happen. Okay, so again, here in the United States, we're watching a lot of weird stuff happen. Brother Harnden's, his mail to me is getting thicker and thicker. You know, because there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. There's all kinds of laws being talked about, all kinds of things being discussed. All kinds of what certainly we believe are not good policies being enacted. And seriously, the powers that may hate what we stand for, hate us, hate our Lord Jesus Christ, they can't do anything until God says it's okay. They're not going to touch you till God says it's okay. And so we have to realize that, all right? So he's going to make war against them, and he'll overcome them and kill them, but eventually that only happens when they're finished, all right? So if he's making war, if Satan makes war against you, then he can't do anything till you're finished. Now, he can make your life miserable, as he did with Job. You know what I found? I found we make our lives more miserable than he does. We're the ones that make our lives miserable because of our own stupidity. Amen. Amen. And our own carnality. But the truth of the matter is, you know, he's got a lot of power. He's a prince of the power of the air, the devil is. And certainly, he's going to hate these two preachers. I guarantee he will hate them, and he'll try to kill them. Finally, he will overcome them and kill them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. We know that's Jerusalem. It's interesting here. And by the way, their dead bodies shall lie in the street, and all people are going to see it. We talked about this the last time. There will be amazing TV coverage. There will be amazing internet coverage. I mean, the whole world is going to be rejoicing at the death of these two independent, fundamental, radical nut, Bible-believing, King James Bible Baptists. Amen? Anyway, so they're, you know, can you imagine? I mean, seriously, it's like, was that in last week's bulletin, the little insert that we put in there about the abortion doctor? Was that last week? I can't remember when I put in what. But anyway, you know, we'll... how much did you see in the news about that? But if he would have shot babies with a gun, it's okay to pull them out and snip their spines. That's all right. You know, it's okay. We don't want to talk. Put a gun in his hand, and oh my. I know, because we're doing Wild West VBS. And guess what was hard to find? Guns. Guns. Oh yeah. How do you do Wild West VBS without guns? We're gonna shoot Bible bullets, amen. And fiery darts. I know some of you get nervous. Oh, you know, we'll hear about it. Do you know children are being kicked out of school for doing this? Wow, they would not have understood my bedroom when I was a kid. Because I had an arsenal. If I wanted to be Western, I had every kind of Western gun there was. If I wanted to play Army, I had every kind of Army gun there was, and many of them. Neighbor kids used to come over and you know, can we borrow your guns to play Army? I know it's going to get quiet. You know, well, we don't want to say. We might be being, I know, they probably are listening. Amen. But anyway. So, the point is, Jerusalem is called Sodom. That's interesting. Sodom and Egypt. Sodom, immorality. Egypt, worldliness. The two go together so well. Sodom, the morals are just pitiful like they were in Sodom. It's not just homosexuality. It's people living together. I mean, it's all the same. Amen. Somebody better amen soon. I'm feeling really lonesome. But you know, it's immorality. The morals are just, they become decadent in our society. And it's going to be that way during the tribulation. And Egypt, worldliness, just so much worldliness. Last year, I think it was, we had in our vacation Bible school, the devil was trying to get people to go home and watch American Idolatry. And we did stuff about, you know, and it's like some of the kids, they don't know, you know, they're always against the devil, but then you get into that. We did something, said something about a guy named Dustin Beaver. And, you know, the kids, they don't know how to take that. And it's just, but worldliness is just everywhere. You know, it's just, and it's going to be worse then. Did you know that it's very rare in history for Jerusalem to be considered a godly city? Just very rare for Jerusalem to be godly. So again, don't let that catch off guard. Here, they are very, very wicked, according to verse 8. Verse 9, it says, they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Wow. 3 days and a half. And, you know, that's all part of the celebration. That's all part of the event that is going on. Again, we're dealing with a world that hates the Bible, hates Christianity. You say, oh, that's just during the tribulation. No, that's today. That is right now. You cannot even begin to imagine the hatred that the world has for what we believe. It's not a hatred of religion. There will be great religion during the tribulation. You say, wait a minute, I thought all the Christians are gone. That's it. You got it. But it'll be just as religious as it's ever been, and it will all revolve around humanism and works. I started to say salvation, but it isn't even that. It's just a worship of man. And there will be full coverage that all the people, kindreds, tongues, nations will see their dead bodies. can you imagine? I mean, you go to CNN and what are they going to have it all? Just one corner and it's just constantly focused on that. You know, I thought about that. In 3.5 days, they're gonna have the cameras trained on these two as their bodies start to deteriorate and all. You know, it's just hard to imagine that. Of course, you don't have to watch TV very long to see dead bodies. Amen. Anyway, so the hatred is very evident, and they're not gonna put their bodies in graves. By the way, that's all right. God, that's okay, because God's going to deal with that. God has his plan. Amen. Verse 10, it says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice. Interesting. The word rejoice, right there. Only time during the tribulation that the Bible records the word rejoice. What are people rejoicing over? These guys are dead. Isn't that something? Wow. I read that and I just, it just is so out of hell. Amen? They're rejoicing over these two preachers being dead. And the only time that it's the word rejoice is used in the tribulation, because there is no rejoicing. It's a terrible time. But the only time that word is used during the tribulation is referring to the celebration, like Christmas, that they're having over these two preachers being dead. Isn't that something? What's it say? They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. They may write songs about it. You know? And make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Can you imagine? I didn't write it. God did. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Well, the Bible records that they tormented them if they tried to kill them. Fire came out of their mouth and devoured them. I mean, they just let them preach. But, of course, they wouldn't do that because most of their preaching by then, I guarantee it would all be hate speech. You know, and authorities came to arrest them and they had serious heartburn and they spewed it out. Bible says killed them. But the point is that they are blamed for everything. You know they are. You know they're being blamed for everything. And everybody's rejoicing. They're giving gifts. Reminds me of, how many times I've seen enemies unite against the Lord. People that are against each other becoming buddies against the Lord. I've watched it as a pastor. You know, I've seen people I'm thinking of too many that are too close to home examples. But, I've got letter after letter after letter in my files. This person's out of hell and they're the most wicked person in all the world. Well, and then that person ends up getting mad at me and they become buddies with that other person against the things of God. Because when people get backslidden, you never know what they're going to do. And when people get backslidden, they can be buddies with others who are backslidden. It's amazing. And when people are wicked, they can be buddies with those who are wicked against those who are trying to do right. And that's exactly what happens here. The hatred is very, very, very obvious. And so they're having a great time. And again, I believe this is at the middle. This is after the 3.5 years. Their ministry's up. They are killed. And probably the other thing in conjunction with this that we know about from Daniel is the covenant is broken. Remember the Antichrist made it, oh, we'll give you peace for 7 years and, you know, all this stuff. And obviously that didn't happen. And he broke the covenant. And the key here is the world knew exactly what these two men stood for. It wasn't blurry. It wasn't questionable. It's very blurry today. These guys would not have made it on Christian television. They wouldn't have made it. They wouldn't have been popular on Christian radio. Not these guys. Well, they're wearing sackcloth for one. What's their problem? What are they thinking? Anyway, well, they're pretty much obeying God, I'm guessing. Ushers, I need you to come. And don't want to forget that. And go ahead and just collect an offering. If you want to give, then give to that. But the world knew exactly what they stood for. Nobody wants, and again, don't misunderstand, folks. This hatred is not just tribulation hatred. Okay, this hatred is carried on from before the tribulation. The hatred is building. The hatred is building toward preaching the truth. It's building. You know, you now have the Burger King churches out there who are singing Have It Your Way, and there's just so many of them. We are starting to stand out more and more, and then you have all the Burger King Baptists that are starting to feel that pressure. Why are you like you are? Why do you believe the way you believe? You guys use the King James Bible. What is your problem? You sing all those old songs. Why not something groovy? You know, groovy. And it's just building and building, and by the time Again, we don't know when this is all going to be, but by the time the tribulation takes place, the hatred for us, for our kind of preaching, it is just unbelievable. A lot of Christians don't want to be treated like these two. Would you agree? Would you agree? I mean, I'll be honest. Brother Odom, you've been a pastor a while now. You wish everybody loved you, don't you? You know, I had all my notes out of Bible college and had all those notes and I was all excited, moved and went into a city to start a church. And honestly, I thought, well, it'll just take a few weeks. They'll hear about us and we'll go soul winning. They'll hear about us and they'll give us the key to the city. Yeah, it wasn't quite like that. In fact, they never did roll out the red carpet. And you say, well, you know, we need to get along. Oh, I agree. I pay my bills. I do right. I don't throw trash on the streets. I obey the laws and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, they hate Jesus. The world hates Jesus. And a lot of Christians don't want this kind of treatment, or they don't want to be thought of this way. I remind you, Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Why? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I didn't say it. God said it. And so when you identify with Jesus, what did Jesus do wrong? What did he do wrong? Nothing. Why did people hate him? Because they love darkness, and he is light. And so, again, you know, we are in a day where most, I say most, Christians don't want to be associated with that. Otherwise, this place would be full. Amen. It's true. You know that's true. Over the years, you know, it's like, man, you know, the pressure is just, because honestly, you can go out there and act like the rest of the world and have your secret agent Christianity, right? And just get along with everybody and be fine. Well, these two witnesses weren't like that. They won't be like that, I should say. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be like that either. I want the whole world to know what I am. And I hope you do too. So again, identification with the Lord Jesus Christ brings us on. Now, I've got into a section here. I don't want to go ahead and start. And no, we did not finish again. But there are three greats coming up that take place that are exciting in verse 11 and verse 12 and verse 13 to kind of end Roman numeral 3, the ministry of the two. And so you can kind of look ahead at that, the three greats that take place. And it's exciting, exciting passage of Scripture. And then we will end next week, I'm sure, with Roman numeral 4, the mystery of the times. And again, something that just God breaking into kind of the story here and talking about reminding us of the Lord Jesus becoming the rightful ruler, and just an exciting passage of Scripture. So we'll get to that, Lord willing, next week.